Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. It's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Paramount Plus, they also got The Chi on there, so I'll be watching The Chi.
Mm. Yeah, it's formerly what, Showtime?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. It was the Paramount company, and they just,
right.
I was gonna
rebranding.
Say, yeah,
rebranding. Final hour of the day, final hour of the week. We're headed to week two. Actually, week number two of the NFL season got started yesterday with the Packers getting a victory. Obviously, news on the San Francisco 49ers today: Juwan Jennings, Trent Williams, both questionable for Sunday's game. Kyle Shanahan, couple hours ago, officially ruled Brock Purdy out. He will not play. I think that had become pretty clear the first time Kyle spoke earlier this week. I should say the second time Kyle spoke this week. And the belief, I think, of course, from the report of Ian Rappaport, is he's going to be out a while. He's going to be out anywhere from 2 to 5 weeks. And 49ers will take on the Saints coming up on Sunday. Before we get into that, before we talk more about what's ahead, mm-hmm. let's talk about what's behind us. 49ers, week one victory, tough Seattle team, mm-hmm. on the road. What was the biggest surprise for the 49ers in week number one?
Man, for me, I really looked at that defense and was really impressed with the way they played. Mm-hmm. I know that Seattle doesn't have the weapons that they maybe had in the past, not having Lockett there, not having DK Metcalf there. Kenneth Walker, whatever's going on with his role there. But
old man Kenneth Walker?
Old man. Old ass 24-year-old.
Right.
But that Niners defense dominated.
Yeah.
I keep going back to the number because it's so baffling to me. The Seahawks didn't get over 100 yards passing to that final drive of the game. And it took a 40-yard pass damn near for them to get there. They didn't have over 100 yards rushing. There was one drive in particular where the Seahawks just did a good job, drove down the field, ended up scoring. That was on a drive where a 4th-and-3 pass interference call kind of kept the drive going. But other than that, there was nothing going on all day for that Seahawks offense. I got to give Robert Saleh, I got to give 97, I got to give Fred Warner, I got to give D'Amador Lenore all the credit in the world, because they were locked in, and it kind of made me feel differently about what this team might be able to do if need be. They may be a team that needs to rely on their defense and can rely on their defense for a couple weeks.
You lived that life before. It can be pretty tough to live off of the defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. And I point that out, obviously, because the 49ers will be moving forward without Brock Purdy. I think one of the things that was, I guess, a surprise to me in week number one was Ricky Pearsall. Mm. We wondered if Ricky Pearsall could emerge as a number one wide receiver. I think you went so far as the conversation was going along, essentially to demand that Ricky Pearsall be a number one wide receiver. Like, you reminded yourself and all of us, hey, this is a first-round pick. This is a first-round pick at the wide receiver position. Yeah, you better be a number one. And I think we had all hoped, I'll speak for myself, I certainly had hoped that as the season, you know, progressed and we headed it into weeks 3, 4, 5, regardless of what Brandon Ayuk's status wound up being, that we did see Ricky Pearsall emerge. We saw it in week number one. And that was to see it, not the outcome. The outcome wasn't necessarily a surprise to me, but how quickly we saw it mm-hmm. was a surprise to me. And so my concern headed into week number two is that was his relationship with Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. And so what does his relationship with Mac Jones look like? Yeah. What does Mac Jones' relationship with anybody look like? You know, we always hear about the security blanket of a tight end. While obviously the San Francisco 49ers will have a tight end out there on the field, it's not going to be George Kittle. It's not going to be the likely Hall of Fame tight end that they have. Mm-hmm. And so there's so many unanswered questions because the quarterback position is changing over here for a few weeks. But for week one, I was really happy to see Ricky Pearsall play the way that he did.
Yeah, he Slick Rick, he can go. He can go. I felt that way. Some of the things that we saw last year when he finally got to get on the field, it's like, oh, yeah, this guy looks like he might have a little something here. And, you know, he had a relatively healthy, I know he had a hamstring at one point, but a relatively healthy offseason, got to work on his game, got to get better, get up to speed. And I had expectations for Ricky Pearsall. And so far in game one, he looked exactly the way I pictured he would look.
Yeah. Stevie B brings up a great point. The biggest surprise of week number one was how quickly George Kittle got into street clothes. That was the biggest surprise because he was on the field and then they went to report he was out. He already had street clothes on.
I said, wait a minute.
That is amazing.
So wait, how did we get here?
It is not easy to get that jersey and pads off, yeah. But he managed to do it in what felt like record time.
Frustrating for a number of different reasons, but also because he was really good on that first drive. And it looked like they were going to feature him. Like this was the part of the plan for the season, part of the game plan for that particular game is like, let's lean in to George Kittle, the receiver, being more of a factor on a game-to-game basis. And it looked great to start off. And then he gets hurt. So
yeah,
that was definitely frustrating to see. Luckily, it's not something that he's going to be out for the whole season, but you never know how long it's going to linger, you know, and that's a concerning aspect to it. But Slick Rick, I think they got something with Slick Rick.
Yeah.
I think they got something.
Yeah, I think so. If I asked you to, if I gave you Juwan Jennings, mm-hmm. said he's available, and asked you when we get back here on Monday, ahead of our appearance at Sky River Casino, come join us.
Come pull up on us.
We'll be there at 7 o'clock. We'll actually be there well before 7 o'clock, but we'll be there to watch the Raiders and Chargers at 32 Brew Streets. Come hang out with us. Watch us. We're going to do our show from in here in the studio. We're not doing our live show from Sky River.
Yeah, we're just chilling.
Yeah, we're coming to hang out. Coming to hang out with you, Raider Nation, football fans, Chatty House, anyone who wants to come hang out. Man, we're going to be at 32 Brew Street on Monday for Raider football. But if I gave you Juwan Jennings, said he's available, and asked you who, when we get back here Monday, who are we talking about Mac Jones' primary target being? Who do you think it is? Do you think it's Juwan? Do you think it's Ricky Pearsall, Christian McCaffrey, somebody else, Kendrick Bourne?
I would say Christian McCaffrey.
That's exactly what I thought it was going to be, too.
I would say Christian McCaffrey, only because I think that'll be like kind of driven home, where if you're not sure what you see down the field, just check down to 23. Or Mac might say, the play might be, hey, here's a quick route for Christian to be open. Like, I think when all else fails, whether that's in the middle of the play or the play calling, they're going to be like, let's get the ball to Christian.
You know what gives me pause on that a little bit is, and I understand this is Mac Jones' first start with the San Francisco 49ers. He's not a starting quarterback in the NFL anymore. Mm. But my brother, you are not going against the Legion of Boom here.
Mm.
Like you're going against a team that as of right now, and I'm not asking them to talk like this, I'm talking like us, mm-hmm. you're probably going against one of the worst teams in football, if not the worst team.
Yeah.
You're going against a team that has, at the very least, had a conversation about Arch Manning. So, like, you might have some opportunities down the field. Mm-hmm. Don't be shy about taking those. Whether it's Kendrick or it's Ricky Pearsall again, whoever it is, you're going to have some opportunities. Don't be afraid to take those. Mm-hmm. Now, as you have regularly pointed out, regardless of who's under center, if you miss those opportunities, Kyle's going to reel you back in pretty quickly. And this is where I hope... I say this laughing because I just don't think he will. Kyle almost has to let Mac Jones make mistakes. Obviously, you don't want him making grave mistakes. You don't want him making mistakes that change the momentum of the game and all of that. But if he overthrows a receiver, that's all right. Like, give him an opportunity. He wasn't under center last week.
Yeah.
Like, give him an opportunity to just kind of feel the game, feel the defense, remember what it's like in you know, real time, like live NFL action. Give him an opportunity to work through that. If the mistakes become costly, mm-hmm. and you start losing possessions over it, then I understand.
Yeah.
But Kyle might have to adjust what seems to be his very traditional philosophy of, you got one, all right, we're going to go a different route for 7-8 plays, and I'm going to give you another shot, and you better connect on that one, because if not, we're going away from it for 10 or 12 plays, and then it just becomes this weird, and this is where the Christian McCaffrey call comes into play, because when he drops back to pass, he's going to be looking for Christian McCaffrey 2 yards from the line of scrimmage.
And see, I think those things are usually reserved for the turnovers.
Okay.
He can miss a throw, and Kyle won't bat an eye. He might be like, ah, that's, you got a habit there or whatever. But I don't know if it's going to adjust play calling.
What if it's a risky throw? Like Brock had a couple of those.
Yeah, yeah. He could do it for a risky throw. But you start turning that ball over.
Yeah.
He will take the ball.
Old Jimmy Garoppolo treatment.
He will take the ball out of your hands. Simple as that. And especially, I think, with Purdy on Sunday, that was one of the first times I ever seen it with it. Usually, Purdy throws the interception. He kind of empowers him with the play calling and kind of just continue to do what he's doing. But with a guy like Mac, you're okay. You're the backup. I've got the defense where I want it to be. We've got the time of possession where we need it to be. We're running the ball the way we need it to be. I just need you not to give them the football. Oh, you gave them the football. Well, I'll make sure you don't give them the football. I'll make sure that doesn't happen. And, yeah, to a certain degree, he's, you know, because that's what you got. You want to empower those guys sometimes. You know, you want to empower right. them to
yeah,
say,
yeah.
You know, I understand that. That was a turnover. That was risky. But I know at some point I'm going to need you to make the throw that I just dialed up. Get ready to do it again. Shake it off. Get ready to do it again. And I'm going to make sure you're ready to do it again because I'm going to call this play that's going to call for you to push the ball down the field and be ready to go. So did you – I was going to – that reminded me. Did you hear Kyle say he didn't see – I don't know if he said he didn't see – the game-winning touchdown, but he was like, he saw Brock scrambling and went to his left, and he said, I was going to go for it. I was going to go for it on fourth down. So he saw him scrambling, went to his right, and when he saw Brock throw the ball, he thought he was throwing it away, and he put his head down to look for the fourth down play. He's going to call. And then he hears what's going on. He's like, oh, a touchdown.
Who did they – so did he say that yesterday?
I can't remember.
During the interview? Someone said, someone on Sunday said they thought Brock was throwing the ball away, or maybe they asked Brock if he was throwing the ball away.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know who it might have been? It might have been Tunjus caught the pass, right?
Yeah.
It might have been Tunjus asking Brock, were you trying to throw the ball away? And Brock was like, no, I was trying to give you a chance. Like there was yeah. some sort of weird exchange. I never thought Brock was trying to throw the ball away there. I just thought he threw a bad pass,
yeah.
And I don't know what the defense was doing on that play, and Tunjus just came up and took it.
He, I do think Brock was just trying to give him a chance. I got to look at it again. One of the angles, it feels like there's a sliver of, like the tunges and the fender are on the side of each other. Mm-hmm. And Brock throws it, it's not necessarily back shoulder, but to a point where like, all right, tunges, I'm putting it here, make a play for me. And it kind of looks like that. And then I see it in another angle and I was like, nah, I'm not sure where he was.
But he threw it in front of him, didn't he?
He did, like, just because he couldn't get it there. He couldn't get it behind the defender. He threw it in the vicinity.
Well, it's a good thing he didn't. He probably would have stepped out of bounds if he had.
He threw it in the vicinity and was like, make a play. Throw it up for grabs. And Tunges, I think Tunges is a relatively tall guy. So was the DB. But, you know, that probably went into the thinking, too, of like, hey, it's a big guy. I'm going to throw it up, let him go
Tunges
make a play.
Tunges listed as 6'4".
Yeah, he's not Kelly Oubre, but... You know, 6'4" is pretty tall for a tight end. Who was it that I saw? Oh, Hutchinson. Aiden Hutchinson is 6'7"? No, for real, 6'7".
What? How tall is he?
6'7". Yeah. I was like, damn.
Have you ever heard that song before? Like, actually heard it?
I heard it once before.
It is trash.
No, it's not
just
good.
Unmitigated pure garbage. But that In-N-Out Burger video is one of the funniest videos I've ever seen.
That cracked me up when I saw that. I said, these kids are crazy.
These kids excited. Just absolutely
just
excited.
Just like you said, an Austin in 97 pop.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, Aiden Hutchinson is a big dude.
Man, 6'7" is crazy. I think, what was it? Eric Armstead? It was. He's still with us. But
he shrank in Jacksonville. It's very tragic.
He was like, what? I think he's about 6'8".
Yeah. Yeah, like seeing Eric Armstead in person for the first, it was like, oh, didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big boy. That is a big boy.
Brock looked at the tight end and was like, you know, go get one.
You know, above all else, you know what makes me nervous is Trent.
Yeah.
Trent, like, and I know I'm confident Trent will do everything to play. I mean, if Trent did nothing but suit up on Sundays. Like, I think he's more than capable of doing that at this stage of his career. But you're putting Mac Jones out there and you're taking Trent from me. That concerns me a little bit.
It does. It does. Seattle will look like a madhouse on Sunday as far as the stadium and the noise. They were in full effect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to be the same case in the Superdome, and I wonder if that helps those guys. The Superdome, watching that game, Superdome traditionally.
God, they love their Saints, though.
They do. They do. I don't know if they love these Saints, though, the 2025 Saints.
Sure. They would probably love for them to lose.
Right. Because I was watching that game they played against the Cardinals. You could hear a rat pissing on cotton. There was nothing going on in there.
Nope. Okay.
I'm going to tell you right now, there might be...
I don't want to hear that, just for the record. At no point in my life do I want to, nor, you know, it's fine.
How do you end up just in a position where it's like, oh yeah, that rat's pissing on that cotton over there? Like, I hear that. Where does life lead you to be?
Well, it also...
We're going to have the sheep
It factory. Also reminds me of like... How exactly do you shoot the piss out of the ball? It's a line that to this day I don't understand. Like, there's like, what are you telling me is in this basketball? Like, I don't know why Kevin Durant said it. I don't know why De'Aaron Fox said it.
That is a classic right there.
I don't know why that is a line that became repeated.
Do they say he hit the piss out of that baseball?
Sometimes.
Do
I
they?
Have heard that. I have heard that. Well, then why are you pissed off?
Hey, you guys.
Like, what does that mean?
Well, my grandpa had a saying for that.
Oh, I think I get it.
Yeah.
It's better.
Better to be. That's right. He used to say that regularly. I don't understand any of this, but.
Yeah.
Kenny's point was it was quiet.
It was quiet in there. And
do they really? Do they say he hit the piss out of the
ball? Yeah,
yeah. Jesus
Christ, man. I think if you hit like a real big home run, they'll call it a piss missile, I think.
I hadn't heard that. Turn this show off.
I can't do this anymore. This is ridiculous. Turn this show off. Run it back. Next. Oh my God.
I hadn't heard that one, man. That was crazy.
Bryce says it's for punts.
Oh man.
I do not understand it. I don't understand any of this. Kenny could have just said it was quiet in there, but he had to take it a step further. It's quiet wasn't a good enough of a
It was quiet in the Superdome.
Yeah, apparently.
Let's run that back. It was quiet in the Superdome.
Oh, man.
And I do think, I'm not going to say they're going to like take over necessarily, but I do think there's going to be a lot of 49er fans there. Loud,
everywhere.
Boisterous 49er contingency there. And I say all that to say, I wonder if if it's not as loud as it was in Seattle, maybe that helps the whole offensive line with their pre-snap reads, their blocking schemes, everything like that. So, long-winded way, very strange way of saying.
Very strange.
Hope Trent Williams plays better if he plays.
Glad we're all up to date on our lingo too now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but look. That's even if Trent plays. He's questionable.
He's listed as questionable. Yeah, that's why I told you. That's the one that concerns me. That's the one that concerns me. I feel like the 49ers, you know, we've asked everyone who's been with us, Chris, Kyle, you know, each other. Are we asking, like, too much? Like, how much can they truly sustain? Mm. And I've been of the belief, I think they'll be okay with Mac Jones. Like, I need them to prove that idea is wrong. Mm-hmm. Whether it's this week or over the course of the next 3-4, whatever it winds up being, they have to prove to me that that idea is wrong. Because right now I'm entering this weekend with, like, are they great? I don't know. But can they win games with Mac Jones under center? I think they can. Mm-hmm. But if we start talking about Trent Williams missing games moving forward, because we know George Kittle's not coming back, then it becomes like, I don't know that you could sustain that. Like, I don't know that you could sustain both of those guys being out at the same time, because who's protecting Mac Jones in that situation? Who does Mac Jones have to lean on? If I got under center and I know Trent Williams is right there, I'm not going to say I'm going to be okay, but I feel like, hey, I got this big fella protecting me. Okay, I can get through this. Trent Williams not there, I quit. Ain't no way I'm trying. Well, what's the hey? Could you complete a pass for $1,000? If I got Trent Williams protecting me, I could find somebody a yard away. No problem. Trent Williams not there, I'm going home.
I'm going home. Now the
he's one of the best to do it. He's one of the best to ever play that position.
There absolutely is a breaking point, you know, with these injuries and the people that you lose. Mac Jones also is. And Kyle pointed this out. He's 100% correct. He's not as mobile as Brock Purdy. So if the protection isn't necessarily perfect and he has to move a little bit or evade the rush or run or something like that, he doesn't have that in his bag to bail out the offensive line from time to time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there absolutely becomes a breaking point. I think depending on who you're playing and depending on how long – the people are out. Let's say Trent and obviously Kittle's out, but let's say Trent is out too for the next two or three games. I think you can weather the storm for a little bit. Really? I think you can. You know, one thing that I remember that it was just one game, so it's not a lot of games. But remember the classic 49er Rams game that got the Niners into the playoffs a couple years ago?
Of course.
Trent Williams didn't play. Remember, he hurt his ankle.
Yep.
And I forgot who the guy, it might have been Pearson's who slid over there to the left tackle, who between his play and Kyle's scheme, it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think you can do that for a game or two. If you told me Trent Williams was out for the season or even half the season, yeah. now we've got a big problem.
Yeah.
But I think you can weather the storm for a game or two, depending on who you're playing. Like if you're playing the Packers and going against Micah Parsons, that yeah. might be a problem. But
yeah.
even though Cam Jordan is really, really good, I think you can figure it out against the Saints. I think you could figure it out against the Cardinals and the Jags if need be. Hopefully he's able to play. Hopefully whatever the issue is with his knee is something that they'll be able to rectify relatively quickly. But I think you can manage for Sunday, maybe the following Sunday.
Well, you might have to. But he is listed as questionable right now. We'll come back. I asked you what was the biggest surprise in week one for the San Francisco 49ers. I'm going to ask you the same question as it pertains to the Las Vegas Raiders, and then we'll look ahead here to week number two, including what 0-1 team are you most confident will be able to get going here in week number two. There's a couple of good ones to choose from. We'll close out the week strong. Steele McCasey, brought to you by Sky River Casino, on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. you're seeing exactly you what know why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KC.
Because, you know, I like me a little classic game. It's all good.
You love.
I like
you,
me a little classic
you
game.
You love you a classic
Even
game.
Though I don't know if this is a classic game, this is more of a random game. But NBA TV, the channel, is playing first round series this past year, Warriors Rockets Game 6.
Okay.
NBA TV on Prime Video is playing Tyrese Halliburton's best plays of the season. So this, somehow, some way, this it's like 30 minutes. Like, it's literally a time slot.
Adam Silver was right. Run me the highlights.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Wow. You won, Adam.
And this is kind of random, too, because right now they just... They just saw Tyrese Halliburton just getting an and one against the Magic.
Well, I'm imagining if this thing has to run for 30 minutes, it probably had to work a little bit to get
there was nothing
to get
that
enough
even
plays.
Happened. He came off a screen and roll, got an and one.
Hey, it was a nice little play by Tyrese.
This one, a step back three. This is actually pretty sick. But yeah, so yeah, tap in if you have Prime Video on their live TV. You can see the NBA channel on there.
We were talking about Cordova legend Jerry Manuel earlier. Now we will talk about Del Campo legend Dusty Baker right now. And Baker Family Wine celebrates Dusty's passion of handcrafted small lot wines. And they are crafted right here in West Sacramento where their tasting room is at. You don't have to drive to Lodi. You don't have to drive to Napa or anywhere like that. You could just go to West Sacramento and check out Dusty Baker's tasting room right there. Try all of these amazing wines he has, including this 2022 Sauvignon Blanc I'm holding in my hands right now. They're going to unveil a brand new batch of wines coming up this month.
Nice.
You can learn more about it over at BakerFamilyWines.com. You can join Dusty's Clubhouse there. Learn about the exclusive releases and the tasting room specials. Learn about when D'Lo and KC are going to be there, because we're going to be announcing that here really, really soon. It's going to be this month, as a matter of fact. And Dusty Baker is going to be here in studio with us.
Yeah, man, so, I cannot wait for that.
I know you can't. I probably won't be here that day, but Dusty will, because I guess that's just how it works. If you head to those, there's a couple of different nuggets in the Roseville area, Roseville, Rockland. Head over to the wine section, look for that familiar baseball stitch right here, and grab you some Baker Family Wines. Nugget didn't even pay for that plug, but this is where you can support our man Dusty Baker if you can't make it out to West Sacramento. Head over to BakerFamilyWines.com right now. Join Dusty's Clubhouse and stay locked in, because we'll be telling you about some great events coming up there soon.
Absolutely. And don't forget, bake your wine.
No, don't do that ever. Don't bake wine. But I'm definitely opening a bottle tonight. I'm going to Q tonight, so I'm definitely partaking.
What's going on? You just going just to eat, or is another private dining experience?
No, not doing that. I'm not going to do that for a while. I actually got a couple of dates at Q coming up. We're celebrating, I'm going to shut up, because I think it's, well, my mom's not listening. My mom's 70th birthday is coming up.
Okay.
So we're going to take her to brunch next Saturday. If you haven't done
Q. Yeah, Q's, I haven't had the brunch yet. Yeah, I need that.
Man.
I need that.
Man. Do that. That brunch is fire. Oh, my God. That. It's so good. It's so good. Did you see that documentary on Netflix, The Unknown Number?
I saw it. It's in my list. It's in my queue to watch. Did you watch it?
Katie watched it one like weekend morning. Like, I came home from walking Sprout, and she was watching it. And I don't remember if I needed to work out or like do the yard or whatever it was. But I was like, I kind of laid there and was watching it. I was like, yo, this is weird.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I can't sit here for the next hour in 20 minutes and watch this, but I watched it for a while. And so I got up, and I think I was putting the new grill together. So I went outside and I pulled up the documentary, cause I wanted to see how it ended. I won't ruin it for you. Like, if you're going to watch it,
it's, spoiler alert, you can say it, cause I don't know when I'm gonna get to it. So you could, yeah.
So this kid, I think she's a 13-year-old girl, starts getting these like really hateful and derogatory like text messages, like her and her boyfriend. It was like her first boyfriend at the time. Again, they were 13. And they're using like, you know, those apps that generate numbers, and, you know, you use it once and like it does that whole thing. And like it went on for years. Like, the police got involved, the school was involved, parents were, all of these different things. And it turned out, again, spoiler alert, earplugs if you plan on watching this, it was her mother.
Wow.
And like, some of the texts were like sexually explicit in nature. Like, it was so bizarre, and it's really uncomfortable to watch, because like, these are teenagers. These are like young girls, and I'm watching it like, this is like really uncomfortable. Like, I do not enjoy this at all. I'm leaving. But I was also curious how this story was going to end. And then I, like, when I looked at it, I was like, wait, wasn't that the girl's? So I was just like, all right, whatever. And then Katie comes down and goes, "You won't believe this." I said, "What?" "It was her mother." I'm like, "Oh my God." So like that must have been the opening weekend, because I have gotten Hollywood Reporter alerts on it. Like, like, it is being like talked about now. Like, I think it was the top watch show. I think it's been the top watch show on Netflix since it came out.
Yeah.
It is so weird.
I'll still watch it too, even though but I saw that on the little, you know, because your algorithm or whatever, it was on the preview. I was like, what is this? Let me add this to the list. Yeah, it looks a little interesting. Let me add this to the list.
It's interesting for sure. Yeah. It is so bizarre. Like, because as I was watching that, my thought was, God, this is so terrifying.
Yeah.
Like I say, I think we've said this. So, like, I can't imagine, like, Reese, like, I can't imagine being young and dealing with social media. Like, the girls don't have social media. Even Abby doesn't. Abby's a senior in high school. She doesn't have social media. Mm-hmm. The younger girls certainly don't. But that's a rule that Katie has always had, like, you cannot have it. Mm-hmm. But that's hers. I can't imagine, like, not everybody has that rule, and, like, you know, kids, like, have social media. I can't imagine navigating, like, life. Like, Audrey goes into middle school next year. Mm. We were having a conversation, Audrey, the 17-year-old kid. That is the most miserable time of your life. Like, middle school is awful. I'll speak from middle school is terrible. Mm. Just awful. And I can't imagine navigating that and social media and trying to get through, like, life like that.
Right.
You shouldn't have social media until you have some sense of the world. There's way too much that these kids can see where it's just they wander apart and it's just this kids, like, they don't need that.
Completely agree. Absolutely agree.
The crazy thing about it, though, is you can not have social media, but the internet still exists.
Sure.
And you point this out all the time. People forget this is social media, but as long as YouTube is there, they're going to see everything that they can see on these social media sites.
Yeah, but from
a social media.
From the social media perspective, yeah, for sure. But from what I get concerned about more is, like, the DMing and the adding.
Mm.
Like, if you, like, I haven't been on Facebook in, like, 3 years. Mm. Not because I'm taking some moral stand. It's because I lost my password and got locked out a long time ago. Like, I literally cannot get on Facebook. But I, like I don't know if it's still called a wall. Mm. But, like, if you have a group in junior high or you know, I think this is probably more of a freshman, sophomore thing in high school. Maybe it extends beyond when they get 16, 17. But they're writing stuff on your wall as much as they are as saying stuff at the locker and in the hallways. Like, that is, it's just, I can't wrap my brain. My 7th, 8th, and probably 9th grade years, I can't imagine dealing with what I dealt with in real life and on social media.
Yeah. It's, I don't envy these kids for having to navigate through all of that, man. And, you know, one of the things, and I'm not saying they're doing it from some moral place, but if Reese ever did get social media like that, man, just turn off the comments.
Has he asked?
Turn off the likes. He's got a TikTok, which is whatever. But, I mean, we in the phone all the time.
You learn about 9/11 conspiracies over on TikTok.
We in the phone all the time monitoring that. But that's what he has. And, you know, I try to tell him, like, man, you need to be on there all the time, man. Like, there's a lot of nonsense. There's a lot of false information. Like, he used to do this a lot. I'm going to say something right now. He didn't say this, but he'd be like, Dad, did you know that Magic Johnson is from New York? I said, no, he's not. Well, no, I saw it on YouTube Shorts. He's from New York. No, he's not. He's not from New York.
No, very much not.
You just see this stuff.
From Lansing, Michigan.
Yeah, they just throw this stuff on here. Like, no, he's not. It's a lie. It's not true.
We had to block YouTube Shorts from the little one's tablet because, like, she would just sit there and, like, flip through these things. And one day I picked it up and was watching it, and it was like, there were these really what I thought were, like, hidden messages in these shorts where it was like it was written to attract kids, but the content wasn't actually for kids.
Mm.
And I'm like, hey, this has to go. Mm-hmm. And I showed it to Kay, and we're like looking at it, and like I couldn't. It's like an Amazon tablet. I couldn't figure out how to get rid of it, so I had to get the 11-year-old over. I was like, "Hey, get this off of here!" And so she got it off of there, and I was like, "When you get to Dad's house, get this off of that one too."
Yeah.
Like, all right. It's you know, and so we had to like you have to pay attention to everything that they're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, we had to do the same thing. Get YouTube off there. Now she likes Pink Fong and Bebe Finn. Y'all know about Bebe Finn.
I don't think I know what that is at all.
It's like a spinoff of Pink Fong. Pink Fong.
I don't think I know what that is, but that sounded racist. But,
no, it sounded.
I don't know what that was.
That's how they come
that
on.
Sounded hella Pink racist. Fong.
That's how they come on the screen. I didn't hear that intro a trillion times in my life at this point. And the spinoff is Bebe Finn.
Oh my God. All right. Oh man. Anyways, unknown number.
Thought of it said, can it give me PTSD with that sound? Pink Fong.
Man,
Pink
when
Fong
they,
is
when
actually
they,
pretty cool.
When they find a show they like, boy, they.
Yeah,
they will watch it. Like they know episodes of Bluey by heart. Both of them do.
Yeah.
They know them joints by heart.
Oh, Pink Fong are the people who does Baby Shark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they got their own little Roku channel. That's where you just turn that on and see whatever they've got going on.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
TikToks and shorts is where TC be getting some of his trade ideas from. That's according to the chat.
Shout out TC, man.
TC
is gonna be all right this Sunday, man. Niners gonna play fine. TC. Mac Jones is gonna play all right. It's not
We're gonna see. Kyle got his boy. Hey, insane. Check it out. KC. Hey, D-Lo. Yeah, D-Lo. Hey, Kenny. KC. Kyle got his boy.
He said, I ain't gonna say nothing. I'm just gonna sit back and watch. But I'm gonna just say.
Hey, check it out. He got his boy, so we're going to see how he does. If Kyle get out of Mac Jones' way, maybe that boy be nice. Maybe that boy be nice. I don't know. Kenny, what you think?
I think you're tripping, TC. Oh, man. Stop sweeping it under the rug. Stop sweeping it under the rug.
KC, we got to stop sweeping stuff. Go, oh, it's just Kyle. It's the 49ers. It's okay. And then we sweep things under the rug. I still don't know what TC was talking about yesterday. No clue.
I don't know, man. I don't know. That's my boy, but I don't know.
It's 3:47. There's no telling what TC show TC is listening to right now. I imagine TC is like Complex. He's in it. He's somewhere, and he's got radios playing with all. Hopefully, just two stations, maybe three. I'm not sure.
You never know.
You never know.
You never know. Still listen. Still waiting for Stanley.
Who's on? Oh man.
Damn, man.
He really.
You think we lost Stanley?
Might have. No,
I don't think so.
No, he calls time to time. Wait till something happens with the Cowboys. We'll see.
Something did happen.
Mike, we haven't talked to him since Micah got traded.
Yeah, maybe he's done with the Cowboys. Maybe that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Maybe.
And what straw broke the camel's back?
Great question. Don't have an answer.
I don't know. But yeah, he might be.
One day somebody put a straw in a camel's back and the camel just like went down and it was like, well, that was it.
I was about to say, how does a straw break the camel's back?
That did it. Well, they say it's just that one little thing that just ruined everything. And maybe that's what happened. I don't know.
You go ahead and talk about the Raiders. I'm going to figure out what straw broke the camel's back.
Yeah, we really let this last little run on a Friday get. That's my fault. I brought up that documentary. It's a good show for those that want to watch it. Like, even knowing the ending, it's just it's terrifying. Like, especially if you have kids, it's because you know me, I'm like an expert parent now. It's terrifying. Like, watching that was terrifying.
But to your point, I mean, Raiders do play on Monday. We're gonna have a whole day to break down Raiders Chargers.
Yeah, we are.
I found the straw that broke the camel.
Great. Thank you so much.
So apparently, if you know a camel, they've got the two humps. Yep. Right? Apparently, people, I don't know where this came from, but it's like they had one hump and somebody hit the hump with a straw and it broke the camel's back into two. So if you can imagine one hump. Somebody hits the middle of that hump with a straw, and it broke the camel's back into two.
All right, I'm calling blown.
No, stop.
I'm tired of these little weak-ass stories from back then. Yeah, I'm calling. That's a bunch of baloney right there.
Boo! I should get in the car and make you do the last 5 minutes by yourself.
That is the biggest fraud.
Ridiculous.
Look, this is the picture that accompanies it. Look. Straw that broke the camel's back.
I thought like the camel was carrying like moving stuff or whatever, and then you threw a straw in there and it finally just dropped.
That's what it is.
It could handle the dresser, but I threw the straw in there and that was just too much.
What you're talking about is ridiculous.
That's animal abuse right there.
You listen. I shouldn't do this on the radio. Be better. Come on, man.
That's such a weak saying, man. Too, now. Like, if that's where the saying comes from, then I'm just never going to say that.
Split his back in two.
Dude's out here beating a camel's back with a straw.
Oh, man, that poor camel.
Well, Drew Down brings up a great question. Are we talking paper or plastic straws? I think we're talking about a different kind of straw.
And also, still. Paper straws are trash.
I get the idea, but it didn't work. It didn't work. No, it didn't work.
We'll have to cut costs somewhere else.
Have we
can't do that with the straw.
Is that still a thing?
I haven't had one in a while.
At some places, they're probably trying too hard, I think. But
we went somewhere. It might have been in Tahoe where our drinks came with a... And it was like... It was club soda. It came with a paper straw because... You know, she's quick to paper straw.
So. I agree. We're on the same page.
No. It's not good.
It's not. Like you said.
What was the whole point behind this?
Because the turtles were getting the straw stuck up their nose, I think, or something like that. Or the seals, I think.
So you guys hate turtles.
I thought it was the global warming.
For the sake of finishing my Fanta, maybe.
Plastic. Because, you know, plastic and...
Global warming?
Well, you know, they're trying to save the Earth. And less plastic, less stuff like that.
Yeah. So. Why do we need paper straws? To reduce the negative environmental impact of plastic straws, offering a biodegradable and renewable alternative that decomposes much faster.
So we're not even saving animals?
Well, no. And helps protect wildlife.
In what way? That can mean anything. What does that mean?
You just said the turtle gets the straw stuck in
the nose. I'm wildlife.
That one was crazy.
I'm sorry. What is the turtle doing? Coke? Like, what do you mean the straw gets stuck up its nose?
I don't know.
That one's crazy.
Turtle out here doing lines like he's Tony Scarface.
Yeah, what do you want from me?
That's what I said. That was crazy.
Well, I just thought that's why we
really started to lock into what he said. I said, what do you mean the turtle?
We were saving them because the turtles are choking on straws or something.
What would a turtle on coke even look like?
I'm going to name that today's show.
He wouldn't be slow no more. He'd be sped up. Like, come on. Where's that hair at? Where's that hair? I want to race. I want to race.
Oh, hey, Jesse, remember that day we had that really great conversation with Eddie Gonzalez about the WNBA? What show was that? It was the one about what would a turtle on coke look like.
Name it. That's the title of the show.
We're just going to keep teetering that line until we get in trouble finally.
Oh man! If anyone actually paid attention to us, maybe they'd be like, "Hey
you're
guys,
not even here."
Maybe the lights are off.
Oh
outside.
Yeah, actually, they really are off.
Oh,
we're a one man band, man. Swiss Beats.
Yeah.
Real quick. Well, we got a little time.
We got about a minute. About a minute.
Niners win today or Sunday? Excuse me.
Yeah.
I say yes, Jesse.
But I
can yes.
Can I? I have grave concerns if they don't.
That's fair.
Like,
yeah, that's fair.
We could be looking at a really, really long season if they don't.
I think the game will be a lot uglier than you're anticipating, Casey. I don't think they're going to be, oh, wow, they're about to lose, but it's just, I wouldn't be shocked if the offense had trouble moving the football.
I think it'll be a comfortable 13-point win.
What does it say, Damien?
Tony Monturtle.
Oh, y'all are stupid. Oh, real quick. And Chris, hell yeah. We went in 2-3. Look here.
Oh. The when series starts today, right?
Starts tonight. Three? Giants, Dodgers. Mets are in San Diego. Reds are here in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
When we reconvene on Monday,
mm-hmm.
the Giants will be a half game out of the wild card. They're 1.5 right now. When
okay.
we reconvene on Monday, the Giants will be a half game out. They're going to take 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers.
Okay. Well, this was a day. This was certainly an hour. Big thanks to Ken Rudolph, Eddie Gonzalez, Kyle Mattson, and most of all to you. Have a great weekend. We will see you back here at 10 a.m. on Sacramento Sports Leader. 10 a.m. on Monday on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Gigantes, Niners, gang!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.